We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Terrific. You know, we're we're gonna, obviously we want to open up talking a lot about the new album, because you were kind enough to get a preview for it here, and we listened to it three times in the last day. I listened to it this morning, and I gotta tell you, it's kicking. Love it.
Oh, thank you so much. We are being inundated by people right now, just really I can't even describe the words that I'm feeling. It's just this humbling feeling that people have really giving us 10s out of 10s, and that's extremely rare these days, you guys. we worked really hard, and there's a lot of people that work extremely hard in this business, as you both well know, but we just wanted to do something really special musically for our family and for our families, our friends, and our fans, which we all encompass as one body. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Actually, that was one of the things that I'd seen. And I guess technically the interview started here.
Oh, shoot.
You know what? Normally we would have done some sort of introduction, but hey, it's hard to
enough. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, guys. I've been so blessed. You guys are my fifth today. And I can't even tell you. I mean, off the record, but on the record, I'm just so stoked, you guys. It's so rad. I can't even tell you. I'm just, as a normal dude, you know, and, you know, we all work really hard in our studio, and Ryan Green produced this with myself, and Matt Thorne finished it up. We're all calling each other and going, are you kidding me? you know, because we're loving it. You know, we were loving it, and I'm telling everybody, they go, well, you know, man, you're so excited. You're always excited about music, but, you know, man, you're just really gung-ho. We haven't seen you. What's going on? It's like, you know, I just want to put something out of quality. There's so many great, amazing bands these days, you guys, and, you know, to be able to stick around in this business, which is pretty insane as it is, you know, the ups and downs, and be around for this long, and to be able to put something out of quality is just, I got to tell you, and people say this a lot, but you know, I think, mean it. We're just really blessed, dudes.
Well, you know, I agree that you are blessed that we're your fifth interview. You know, finally your best one.
No, I'm ready. Are you kidding me? Let's do this.
Excellent.
Well, you know, one of the quotes that I did see was that you were mentioning it was for your family, and you mentioned it's for your father. I know both your parents were they were musical as well, but I mean, I'd love to let people know a little bit more of your background. You know, kind of how did your dad influence you and your mother influence you, you know, musically, but also as a person. I mean, I don't really, like, you look at your Wikipedia page, and it doesn't have a lot of your background or anything like that, or your biography on All Music and that type of thing.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you for asking this question. It's a brilliant question, by the way. Let me chime in and just say, first of all, my mother and father, I have a really, really amazing relationship with my mother and father. My mother and father have been my cheerleaders since I was starting this since I was about 7 years old, and probably 8 years old behind a microphone, you know. But my father, I revere him not only as a human being and a person, and my mother also. I come from a family of educators that were in the LA City School District. My father was an administrator, principal, also, you know, higher up than that. I don't know exactly the terminology is, but my mother was one of the catalysts in the Head Start program here in LA. That happened back in the 70s. My father's always been a catalyst for change, and tries to walk with the righteous. You know, he staged one of the first teacher walkouts at Garfield High School back in the early 70s. And I got to see this when I was young, and to see that my father gave up a lot and to raise four children. I have three sisters and myself. But he gave up his dream, which was to be playing in a huge band, whether it was Frank Sinatra's orchestra or what have you. Back in the day, a lot of these cats would come in, and instead of having guys that would be traveling with them all the time, they would get the best musicians from state to state or city to city. I don't know if you remember that, but my father played in Stan Kenton's orchestra at first trombone. And, you know, that's how I was raised, to be, if you're going to do something, you know, definitely don't quit. Never be a quitter. That was instilled for me from my father, whether it was music, sports, education, or whatever. Just don't quit, because you're quitting on yourself. And I really believe strongly that my father was a big influence on me, why I named the record Elefante after him. He just loves elephants. He's always had. We grew up thinking that the elephant was the king of the jungle in our household, not the lion. It is him. He has the mind of an elephant. He's 85 years old. He rides a Harley still. I still go. I'm an avid tennis player, and I've been playing since I was a kid, and was ranked here in Southern California when I was younger, and for all intents and purposes should have went to USC, and finished my education and played on the tennis team there. But I chose the latter, and which is the crazy rock and roll business. So I was just commenting to the day, you know, we're sitting down, and I go, man, Echo, you hit the ball really well. You know, we're playing. He goes, oh, man, you're like, can't get to your ball. So I'm like, are you kidding me? You're out here. It's ridiculous. I go, so what are you doing when you get back home? He goes, oh, you know, I got to get the Harley out, and, you know, I got to get her out and clean it. And I go, Dad, you still riding this thing? And now let me tell you guys, this is a heavy bike. This is not a light motorcycle. This is, my dad's got this thing. It's so heavy. When I sit on it, and he doesn't even like me to sit on it, right? But hey, Dad, can I just, you have to? So he goes out and puts around at 85 years old. So that's the kind of dad I have.
That's, you know, awesome.
And I'm very blessed and fortunate to have him. He's a very man of faith and believes in God like I do, very strongly. And, I'm doing this for our family, our friends, and our fans, which I tell you again, they're all one people. If it wasn't for my mother and father, who are not rich by all means, you guys, and that I did not come from money or anything like that. My parents worked very, very hard for what they have and what they achieved in their life, and were able to instill it in us as children. But if it wasn't for them giving us our initial money that no one would come and help us out with, I mean, me and Lonnie were desperate. The original bass player at the time we were starting the band, and my mother and father came out with a little bit of money that they had and put that money where their mouth was, and nobody else was doing that. So essentially, if it wasn't for my mom and dad putting out their hand like that, and Lonnie's father, Big Mike, who was a stalwart Bullet Boys fan and completely behind Lonnie's and my career, there would not be a Bullet Boys. There would have never been.
Well, because you've personally just gone through so much stuff in your career, and the fact that you are now putting out this new album and doing some of the best work of your career, I mean, how good does that feel?
Oh my gosh, you guys, you know, thank you for saying that. I mean, I get pretty emotional sometimes because some of these with interviews, and people that really know me know that I have taken a lot of ridicule and criticism and humiliation, and I brush it off. I've been in this business way too long to listen to haters and negators. Everybody's asked me, are you really happy right now? And to be honest with you guys, I the minute I start getting too happy, then it starts, you know, it's like you can't be really comfortable. But I got to tell you something. When I stand and look, I'm so happy for my girlfriend, who's Drew Atkins, who works diligently for me. And we've been through so much together. And the 6 years that I've been together, we've been together that she's been extremely supportive of me. And it's very rare to find a really good woman these days, you guys, that will support somebody and will really believe in their talent. So as far as like happy, I'm ecstatic with being able to speak to a couple of gentlemen here that we're having a great conversation with, and really ecstatic for all of our families because we worked really hard, and we're going to continue to work hard. And my band never had to come up as the Great Guns N' Roses or the Great Aerosmith or some of these bands that are just, which like or you know, I hail Motley Crue bands from that time, that we never achieved that because in our time we would never think of doing a ballad. And a lot of those bands made it very big on ballad, you know, ballad of rock. And I was just a stickler for it. We were hard rock, punk rock, weird R&B, funky band, you know, with all these different, you know, musical prowesses that, you know, slithered in and out like an anaconda through our writing ability. And that's the way it continues to be. So I am ecstatic about the possibilities and ecstatic with all the love that we're receiving and well wishes. And but as far as being totally happy, now we're on a quest though. We're still doing this. You know, we're still on a, you know, I don't want to get comfortable. So there's still big challenges in front of us. And the biggest challenge is trying to get some of these people that have been closed-minded about bands from my genre to actually give us an opportunity. And we would relish and just be so blessed if we had the opportunity to get played on some of these terrestrial radio stations in the country that won't give us that opportunity. So that would just be a blessing. That would just be like one of the biggest things that's happened for our organization to have a, you know, just one of these radio stations that's playing contemporary music and say, I got to play this record. I love this band, and here you go. You know,
that's great.
You know, F it. We're doing this today. You know, I love that guy, Mark Torian. He doesn't quit that piece of, you know what? I love that guy.
You say whatever you want. We're not going to censor you. Just throw that out there.
Oh, no.
That's all right. Like
no, because if I listen, I'm talking about my mom and dad. They get a chance to listen to this. I'm gonna hear it if I'm dropping F bombs. And...
Still hear that from you, do you?
Oh man, are you kidding me? Listen, I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you, my mom would be the first to call me, and you know, she calls me up and she'd say, "Ay, mijo." I say, "What's the matter, mom?" She goes, "Do you have to use this foul language? You're an educated guy. Why?" I go, "Oh, mom, come on, give me a break, you know." And she's like, "No, I'm not going to give you a break. You listen to me, right?" You know, it's like, "Okay, mom." Even when they come to the shows, sometimes, you know, I'll let an F-bomb fly or something. She goes, "The show was so good. I'm so proud of you. It's brilliant. Everybody played so well, except for the seventh song where you dropped that F-bomb. I love you."
Only got the one song on the album that oh, yeah. bombs here. So
you guys, my mom and dad are showbiz. They grew up in it. We grew up in, you know, in LA, Hollywood, California. We've seen it all, and you know, so they're very hard on me too. Listen, I was playing for my dad some of the rough tracks of this stuff, and you know, just a little excited about it. And he looked at me and goes, "It's not done yet, is it?" With this really deadpan looking Clint Eastwood face, you know, and just like, "No, Dad, it's not done yet." He goes, I thought so. Yeah, well, you need some work on the bridge part. And he's, you know, and I go, "Yeah, I know, you're right." You know, and inside I'm going like, "Oh, gosh darn it." You know, you know, and it's just because he's so hard still. And my mom, too, she goes, "I love the verses, but the choruses are a little bit too low. Those need to come." It's like, she's producing. You know, it's like, I'm going, "Mom," you know, so. That's the kind of parents I have, which are, they're just amazing, man.
That's awesome.
That's fabulous.
No, that is. I mean, yeah.
And thank you for letting me share that because we were talking about this the other day, and I have been a little bit, more, I would say a lot of it, like a musical recluse sometimes because I've been hurt in this business and by people in it. And I've never been able to really tell my full story about, and be able to share about how my love for my family and my how I revere my two parents so much. It's the massive respect I have for them. And to be able to share that with you guys, and thank you for letting me do that.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what, Mark, here's a good time to tell you this, that because, I mean, we do a series of podcasts on our site and blogs and different subjects, and it's not just music. It's, you know, where we're kind of, you know, we do fantasy football and wrestling and comic books and whatever different things, right? And one of the things that there's a creator, a comic book creator who passed away recently, and one of the current creators, he was an older guy. And after he passed away, everybody came out with all these tributes to him. And one of the current guys mentioned, you know, don't wait until somebody has. If somebody has artistically touched your life, let them know now. This is the time to let them
know,
because it means a lot more to them than we as the fans or the readers, the listeners, understand.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you, and absolutely, 100%. I look at that. We have to thank the people that are here now. You're absolutely right.
And so
let's not wait till they've gone.
And that's why we want to thank you. I mean, we've been listening to you for years, you know, and you've given us a lot of great music.
Thank you.
And then we get this album. We're like, dude's just getting started. So
yeah, because we've been on this train since day one, pretty much. And
oh man, you guys are so fucking awesome. Thank you so much. Oh man! Oh, geez. You guys start tugging on my heartstrings, and I just can't help it. Can't help myself. Oh man! No, for real, man. That's real deep. Thank you, y'all. Thank you so much, man. I mean, I'm so glad I get a chance to talk with you guys now. I mean, you guys know what I've been. Listen, man. We started this thing in the street. You guys. I'm an open book. Everybody knows what the hell's going on in my life. I mean, they know. There's a lot of things, though, that I have gone through that in my personal life that haven't necessarily been explained, or they don't know the truth. And I'm not going to go try and explain something about my personal life to strangers. That's none of their business. You know what I'm saying? So some of the stuff that's out there, I just want you to know that I'm a man of my word, and I've never done anything wrong to anybody or ever tried to. I've been in situations where I have been wronged, and I have been alienated, and different things have happened to me. But that's where we rise with the music, and we rise with ourselves and our family, and we do something special to try to show people that we're not all perfect specimens. That's why I play rock and roll. Rock and roll is not perfect. You know, everybody that's doing a perfect rock and roll record, stop. Please stop. Don't do perfect rock and roll records. Do imperfect rock and roll records. There's got to be a little bit of that in there. You know what I'm saying? That makes it rock and roll, man.
That's what makes it. You know what? But one of the things is, I remember a quote that I heard once that said, the man who isn't knocked down doesn't know how to get up. And that's it. Yeah. I mean, you know, you have gotten up. You have kept going. And a lot of bands have, and a lot of bands split up. I mean, even when I look at some of these new, like there's a lot of bands that are doing that glam metal style still, but they last 2-3 years. The new bands, it seems like none of them have this, they're just sticking through it. Like you, and you're not even doing the same style. Like this music, this album isn't the same style that you kind of have, obviously, what the Bullet Boys reputation would be. Like this is just, very modern, straight up, you know, hard rock, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes at you. I don't think there's a weak song on the Elefante. I don't think there's a weak song on the album.
All killer, no filler.
Damn straight. You know, all fluff and no stuff, or all stuff and no fluff.
And
another
you
way
know
around.
What? Not to interrupt you, but we have to give that as artists to our fans. There's too many of these big artists that I see that I just love, even in pop music. Where you listen to one, two songs, and that was it. It's like, where's the whole record? Where are these? I mean, and some of these writers, you guys, they have 10 writers on the song.
Yeah.
I'm my only writer. That's it, me. Hello. You know, and that's it, you know. So when I look at this stuff and go, wow, man, these guys are making so much cake, you know, and it's like, can you at least put together a solid record like we grew up listening to, so we can give some of the youth a real record. So they're actually buying the whole record because they want to hear every song, because they go, wow, this thing flows really great. You know, I'm big into vinyl. You know, we're, this record through Cleopatra Deadline is going, they're cutting it to vinyl also. So,
nice.
You know, we get, you guys are going to get some vinyl, and it's just so rad. I just love vinyl. It's just, it's so great. Yeah, I mean, I've got tons of vinyl. I've got, you know, that's all I play.
You know, a good example of why, on the way over here to Brett's place where we're doing this from, I asked him what his favorite cut was on from the album. And you know, he lists two or three songs, and they're different than my two or three songs. And that's a good thing, you know?
Absolutely. You know, when you go out, it's a difficult thing to go, okay, I'm going to go and write this record, Elefante, and it's going to be like this, and blah, blah. There's a lot of artists that do that. I didn't do that. I said, I'm going to pick and write a lot of music, and I'm going to pick what fits my vision of the record Elefante. And that's what we have always done. So this was something that I really wanted to be taking a risk. I thought we took a risk with 10 Cent Billionaire a few years back, and it managed to get, when it came out, Road to Nowhere hit number 6 on Billboard Internet charts. So that was we were just ecstatic about that. And then the company that I was with, they went belly up, and they weren't able to continue to work on it. So, you know, at the end of the day, I really thought that we had a hit record. But now, since we have a brilliant team behind it with the Cleopatra, Deadline, Universal, my publicist, Nancy B. Sale, Munzee over at Skateboard Marketing. We're sitting down with management here next week. I can't mention their name right now, but it's they're an amazing management company that we're able to have, and that we built this team of just these stalwart, amazing people that have been in the business, and they're excited. That freaks me out. You know, it's like, because they don't get excited about anything. My publicist goes, hey, Nancy, go about you. Hold on. She goes, what do you want? You know, she's so hard. I don't have time to talk to you right now, honey. I love you, but I'm busy working for you. What the F do you want? I just called to tell you I love you. She goes, okay, I love you too, click. You know, so she's just brilliant. She's walked us into so many doors. Hats off to Nancy B. Sale. I applaud her. Yay! Because she is doing amazing things with love. And, you know, my publicist, Nancy, she also has MS. And she is just, I see her as one of my champions. And she never complains about what her thing and how she's feeling. But, you know, always is, you know, she just, this is a hit record, Mark. Forget it. This is the best record that's been released this year in rock and roll. She goes, this is the summer record. She goes, people are going to be having a lot of children with this record.
That's awesome. That's funny.
She's like, I've already called my super girls. It's on. You know, she goes, and that's what we're getting. This, you know, the rollover has been actually tested out there. And we're just kidding. Please, we need to play in our club immediately. There's like tons of ladies that want to dance, and your stuff is just off the chain, you know. So when this thing drops, even if I didn't do it, you guys, I'd be slamming this joint in my car, man, with the top down, you know, the whole thing, cruising to the beach, going, dude, did you check out this new Bullet Boys thing? This dope, you know. So listen, you gotta give it a chance, you know. What? That ain't them. Yeah, dude, check it. You know, so, I mean, I've been testing the waters, too, just out here in the street and going, hey, man, check this out. What do you think, you know? They're like, damn, who is this? I go, this is my band, the Bullet Boys. People go, who? It's like the Bullet Boys. Man, you guys are sick. You know, a lot of my skater friends and stuff, you know, I still skateboard and do all that. So it's great, the, you know, the surfers and the skaters, you know, when they know, because they have respect for me. You know, they call me a lifer. So they have respect for what we're doing, and a lot of mad respect for this new record, big time.
Well, I mean, you know, we're gonna help you do as much as we can to get the word out on the record, because I mean, it's fantastic stuff, and I it's interesting to hear from you the, you know, how you feel, but also the kind of the grassroots level that you have to take it to really push it now.
Yes, and I'm very willing, you guys, to do the work, whatever I need to do. Shoot, I was telling Wednesday, I go, who needs me to go make breakfast at their house in the morning?
No, I do.
I go, I make great coffee. Hell, I do some great omelets. I can cook. So he's cracking up, and he's going, Mark, you are so funny. He goes, wait a minute, that's a great idea. I go, I'm like, dude, I'm there. Don't stop it. I'm nuts like that. We'll go do some crazy things.
That is a great idea. I'm not even kidding you. At first, I thought you were joking. That is actually a great idea. Like, who wouldn't want you to come?
That's what he was saying.
Seriously,
it
is.
Yeah, and so all the stuff that I threw out there, sometimes they're like, oh, that's blah, 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 blah. And they go, wait a minute, that's a great idea. It's like, no, I was just joking about that. You know, no, let's actually do that. I was like, oh, shoot. You know?
So, you're on tour and making breakfast for somebody each day to the tour.
Oh, I'd love to. I'm serious, man. Program directors, you play my record, we'll come in. Listen, my drummer, Sean Duncan, his nickname is Crusher. Dude, the Crusher, he is an amazing chef. Oh, dude, he has a catering company. And he goes out and caters. He has a team of the people. And he sends me photos of some of these salads he's making. Dude, it's not good. It just looks so stupid good. And I'm going, how come you don't make me these salads? Come on. I'm like, I'm texting him. He goes, I will, bro. We're doing the party. Well, I'll come in. It's like, no. Then my girl's going, Sean, I've known you for over 25 years. Get your ass over here and make us some food. You know, he's great. So we just have a really good time with each other, and you know, it's for all intents and purposes, the four of us have all been through a lot, so we have a lot of mad respect for each other. Forget playing together, just as people, you know. And I think that's where it really, really starts. That we, you know, we love each other on a personal level, you know, not as musicians, but just on a personal level, you know. And that's where you get that swirl and that magic, and that's how we got that record.
Well, that leads me to actually a kind of a two-part question, because sure. The Bullet Boys legacy is essentially your legacy. So
thank you.
So the first part is, what does finding the right band members to fit that legacy mean? But then the second part is also, what then do you see as your legacy?
You know, I think finding the band was... I think the players find you. I think that the players find the music and what they want to bring to, I wanted guys to work with guys. And like I said before, that we got along as people. And that was a big thing for me, that we all got, even as we are eccentric in our own ways, that we got along and we all had common ground musically. So with that being said, I'm kind of losing track of the. Let me get the first part of the question, because I'm overthinking. So
for sure.
I apologize.
The
one more
first
time.
Part was about finding the right band members to fit the legacy of the Bullet Boys.
Yes. So here we are, myself, Chad McDonald, Nick Ross. We've been together playing everywhere around the country and abroad for 6 years. So. And our drummer has been with us about almost two years. We, three of us, myself, Chad, and Nick, our drummer and our friend was Johnny Giosa. And he was our drummer that when we started actually coming back up again, and he died in a car crash actually a couple of years back. And that really sent me for a loop, because I was so excited about having the right band, and we would travel together, and we had a great time, and we're killing it live. And Johnny was at a very high level drum-wise, and also at a very high level spiritually and comically. He could do Hanna-Barbera voices of the Flintstones, and dude, you name it, he could do it. And he had me howling every day, right? And he was from Philly, so he'd be like, he'd be hounding me every day. I'm like, come on, what's up, Skinner? What are we doing today? It's like, dude, I'm relaxing. He'd be like, you know, he's like, just one of those guys. Come on, man, let's go throw a football around. Shit, you're lazy, Tori. Let's go. I'm like, dude, stop it. I'm trying to relax. It's a day off. What? Don't try to relax, bro. Come on, it's a beautiful day. He was one of those guys, you know? And I was just like, right on, Johnny. All right, fuck. Get me out of the room, you know, and stuff. And we go around and do whatever the hell, you know. And come on, we're going to go have Indonesian food today or whatever, you know. It just, and when we lost him, that was Nick Rogers, my guitar player. That was his best friend, dude. So it was kind of put a really dark cloud on the band and just everything, you know. And I didn't really want to do it anymore after that. So, you know, me and Nick just talked about it. And, you know, Nick, he's one of my closest friends, if not the closest friend in my world. He's just like my brother, literally from another mother. We're very, very, very close. And he says, listen, man, we can't do this. We got to do this for Johnny. And I was like, fuck, you know, I was like, now we got to do it for Johnny. I was like, oh no. You know what I'm saying, you guys? That's a huge weight to put on you. Yeah. You know, then, you know, God bless our fans, but that's a big weight, you know? So I'm going like, you know, he's right. I couldn't disagree with him. And, you know, Nicky's from the East Coast, and he, you know, he grew up very punk rock. So he's real hard, you know? He don't play no games. So it's like, you know, dude, you're not a quitter. Dude, you've never been a quitter, dude. You know, you grew up in Montebello. You don't quit. What the fuck's going on? I said, it's not about quitting. It's, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. It's not quitting. So we talked about it. And I said, the only way I'm going to do this, dude, is if we're going to do this. And, you know, I explained to him where I was coming from. And he said, I'll do it with you. F everybody. Chad's in. We're in. I go, it's going to be hard. It's going to take some years, you know, but if you're willing to do it. So they were, and now here we are. You know what I'm saying? So they put in that time and that love and that through the argument, through the fightings, through the happy times, through the sad times, through the broke times, through traveling around back in the van with the trailer, traveling through sleet and snow and everything you could think of, like a straight out punk rock band. And now here we are. So it's like, and Sean was just the icing on the cake because I wanted to play with Sean forever. He comes from a band way back in the day called Odin. They were a gigantic rock and roll force here when I was growing up, when I was younger, in L.A. And they were, for all intents and purposes, way before Guns N' Roses, way before anybody back in the early 80s. And they were really young, dude. They were like 16 years old doing this stuff and going up there and selling out and killing it, all metal. So I go to see him play in this band with his brothers called BC4, and I was going, man, I really want to play with Sean, man, but if there's an opening for the band that you'd like to put him in. And my girl was really close with him and still is, and she goes, oh, Sean's not going to play with you, dude. You know, he's not into that. He's into fucking hardcore metal. And I said, I know, dude, I know. And he's like, well, let me just ask him one of these days. And I said, okay. So, you know, I called him up, and we were talking and laughing on the phone. I go, dude, I need a drummer, man. I go, how would you like to come and play in a national act like the Bullet Boys? A real, you know, the real thing, come and be a member. And he was just freaked out. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. He goes, I'm in. Yeah, fuck yeah. What's going on? You know, like he was, I go, dude, you're in, man. You deserve this. You deserve to go to another level, man. He's so good, man, you guys. He's just, damn, he's just like, that's why I call him the crusher, man. He just crushes it every night. It's stupid. It's just like, it's like ridiculous. I turn around, he's like, you know, all the great drummers that I loved, all like in one dude. And then his personality supersedes himself because you just see that smile and it's just like, it's like, you know, it's that grin, like when we see when Alex Van Halen smiles from behind the kit, you know?
Yeah.
That feeling, that like, wow. Whoa, you know, sometimes when I'm outside of the stage and he's doing his thing, I'm just going like, wow, man, I'm so lucky. I tell the guys are working. I'm so lucky that we have this band that we're able to do this. And guys look at me and go, is that what you're thinking about right now? I said, yeah. Aren't you thinking about the music? It's a hell no. What? This is it. We're already doing this. I'm thinking about how cool it is to watch my guys, man. You know, so I'm really proud of them too, man, because they stepped up. Everybody.
For
and
sure.
It's hard to step up in this day and age and to believe in something that people are scoffing. And we were able to, you know, step up and say, huh, it's off all you want. But guess what? You don't know what we're going to be releasing. You have no idea.
And that brings us to the second part of the question. And, you know, what do you see as your legacy? Though I have to say that I don't think your legacy is fully written yet. And that's
part no, of it, no. Right? There's a lot left, I think. Yeah. But
yes, no, thank
what you. Are you going
to see? Yeah, where do you want it to be?
I just want to carry on. And, you know, I've said this in a couple of interviews already. I've never been comfortable. I detest the hair band it's a moniker, and I never revered that whole thing. So I just want to be, you guys, I just want to carry on my legacy by, A, first of all, working really hard and being a great writer and a great musician. I don't like the terminology rock star. I don't have any, there's no room for it in my life and my family. That's not something that, you know, there's a difference. You know, I think if you have it, you just have it. And if you're, I'm a performer and definitely on stage, and I'm constantly, I do not phone it in. I never have. So I don't know how else to do it. But I would like my legacy to be that, you know, that guy knew the mistakes that he made, and he tried to come back and right those mistakes, and he treated people like just like gold, you know. And that's the most important thing, I think. Even besides being a musician, that should be secondary. I think it should be the type of person that you are first. And, you know, I meet thousands of people all the time and have been so ingratiated to the fact that they still follow my band. The young and older and in between, here and there, and all walks of life, all sexual preferences. You know, we love everybody, and everybody comes to the party in my band, you know, and it comes to see us. There's no, we don't have any bias to anybody that walks this planet. I think that's what makes us different than some of the other bands, you know. We grew up like that, so we just, you know, we want to love on everybody, and I want to make sure that when people come to our show, that they just have the greatest time, you know. And it's not, we're not here to relive the past. We're here to live in the now and for the future.
And I think you'll notice in this interview, we're not interested in talking about the past. Like, we haven't brought up most of that stuff in the past, because we're not about the past. We're about the person, you know?
Yes. Yes.
That's what we want to get to know about you, obviously. That's far more interesting than you know, something that happened 25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we have revisited those stories so many times. It's like the world is moving too fast right now, you guys. And, you know, I'm too much in the now, and I've always been, even back then. You know, I was always trying to do something that was going to happen 4 years before it happened. So I'm always trying to do that. And so that's what we continue to do. You know, the legacy is just to be great to, as a person, and to be able to be, my best thing, my asset is to try to be a better communicator. And that's very difficult in this day. Like I said, when the world's moving a zillion miles an hour, and there's tons of different ways to communicate to people, to be able to actually for people to take me seriously. And that is the thing, to know that here's this little band. I want people to know that we don't give up, and the band's not quitters, and I've never quit on my fans. I've never quit on my music. I've never quit on any of that stuff. I'm just, I you know, maybe at some point you just look at yourself and go, like, this guy just doesn't know the word dumb or stupid. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to look at yourself and go, like, what the hell, you know? So, and you take it with a grain of salt, man. You know, I try not to take myself too seriously sometimes, but sometimes you got to, because it's a business. So, and that's what it's all about. I'm very competitive still musically. I want to make sure that if someone's playing before us or after us, that they're going to get worked.
Nice. Now, like I say, we're not about concentrating on the past. There's one thing I got to bring up, because I just got to know if this is true. Because you do have a credit that's listed for you from Motown Records, Cagney and the Dirty Rats. Is that actually true? You actually paid? Because there's one song on YouTube we're able to find. I like it.
Yeah.
It literally is thank Motown. You. I'm like, I got to know this story.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, tell me. Tell me about that, because that from that to the Bullet Boys seems like a hell of a jump. But I like it, and I'm really,
and it was 1983, cool. So it wasn't like it was radically, you know, 10 years before or something.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. If I may, that was, if not my happiest time of my life, when I was signed with the great Motown Records. I was signed by Motown by Benny Medina, Terry Ashby Gordy Jr., who had a production company called Pocket Rock Productions. Terry Ashby Gordy Jr. Is Barry Gordy's son. And the great Benny Medina, who is and still is one of my mentors, is a huge mogul in the entertainment industry now. He manages J-Lo. He's been a part of I don't know how many different huge successes. He was the creator of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That is his story and how he came into Hollywood.
Wow.
So Benny signed me back then, and a friend of mine was working on the record already, and he was the singer of the band. And he called me and he said, "Listen, Mark, I'm doing this thing over at Motown, and I think you'd really like to do this. I'm singing in the band, but I can't sing these songs. I'm just a rock singer, kind of, and you're this R&B singer. He goes, can you come in and listen to the song? Would you be into it?" I said, "Are you kidding me? Where do you need me?" You know? So I went the next couple of days, and they called me in, and I went to...
I don't mean to interrupt you, but are you telling me, because like I say, there's one song we found, I don't even remember the name of it, but I didn't think you were singing leads on it. You were singing the lead?
On it, yeah, a song called Emotions. That's
yes,
me.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Okay, please, go ahead. I'm sorry to yeah,
so, yeah, no worries. So I go in there, and here, you know, here's the turn kick. I'm going in, and I walk in the studio, this huge, beautiful studio at Hitsville. And I met the people that were involved in everything, and they played me the song, and you know, you can go and try to sing this channel. You want to hear you sing. Don't worry about mistakes or whatever. And I went in there and sang, and they were just freaking out, you know? So, I go, okay, well, here you go. You're walking in, you know, punk rock jacket on, the hair, the tight, the whole thing, right? All rocked out. And like, I do not understand what's coming out of your voice. Holy cow. So hence, you know, they got me to do it, and you know, I was really into it. And then they took me up to meet Barry Gordy at his home. And he was beside himself, couldn't figure it out. He thought, and I quote, he says, "Your voice is ridiculous." He said, "You're ridiculous." He hugged me and he says, "Your voice is unbelievable." And "Who are you?" he said. You know, "I don't know. You know, who are you? But you're Barry Gordy there, and you're in his house, and there's giraffes outside, and you know what I'm saying? You know, when you're a young kid, you're saying, 'Oh my God, I'm here at this amazing mogul of a human being. I'm at his home. What do I say to him?" Right?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything. I said, "I don't know. I don't know." I said, "But I'm here, and I thank you for inviting me into your home and stuff." And he said, "We're signing you to the biggest label in the world, right?" And I said, "Yes, I do, sir. And I'm honored to be a part of this." He says, good. He goes, there's a lot of work to do." He goes, "You ready to work?" I said, "Yes." I like the way this guy, I like this kid, I like his ethics, I like where he's coming from. And that was it. We hung out for a little bit, shot a couple baskets in the driveway, and they took me off. And I went and was a part of that. I mean, even before that, I mean, I was working with my very good friend, Al DeBarge, from the DeBarge Band. I went on tour with him when he was gigantic.
I wish you could have seen the look on our face when you said that. So we're like, "El DeBarge?"
Yeah, El man.
No,
oh,
idea.
Yeah.
Like,
are you, dude, that's my dude.
Nice.
That's one of the most talented cats I've ever met in the business. That guy could, you know, oh, my God, I can't even tell you. His tour was my baptism of fire, playing live in front of thousands of people, okay? And we were close enough friends that he stood by me and wanted me to be part of when he was huge. So, you know, we were very good friends, and he came in, and let me tell you something. The musical director that he had hated me. And I don't know why. He just hated me. And, you know, there was different times, and, you know, here's this, you know, Latino mutt guy, kid, surfer guy, Al's friend, playing stupid guitar, and why is he here? You know, when someone, you know, could have this brilliant guitar player that really knows what the heck he's doing with all these parts. Well, Al said, forget them. I don't want them. I want Mark. He's a star. So
awesome.
Al would have me run out before the band even start, before anything, you know, they were doing the music, and he'd have me run out and start getting the crowd riled up with my guitar and just doing whatever I did. I don't even remember. Just run out. He goes, I just want you to get the crowd going. Go out there, man. I said, what? What do you want me to do? He goes, just do your thing like you would do it like when you're playing the troubadour or something. Go do your thing. He's like, okay, fuck it. So I go out there before we go on and just stand there and just hype the crowd, just get the crowd going without a mic.
Wow.
And then the guy would come out, you guys ready for the march? Whatever, but yeah, man, dude, we were on tour. We were opening up for Astrid and Simpson, man. We played Radio City Music Hall. Al was gigantic, man. You have no idea.
Well, that's awesome. Like, I did have no
insane.
Idea.
Yeah, true.
Like, you really, like, that's something I had no idea that it sounds like that's so important to your learning how to be a showman, you know, to learning how to be a front man and you help transcend that into it. And speaking of being a front man, Brett has a question. He wants to talk to you about your voice a little bit. Brett, go ahead.
Well, yeah, sure. I want to talk about the voice and the guitar because, well, I guess I'm going to start with the guitar because we were just talking about that.
Sure.
When I first, you know, started listening to the Bullet Boys, I mean, it was all about your voice. But, you know, it's become so much like I've been reading these stories about you as a guitarist. And I'm like, I just had no idea that you were a lead guitarist and that you were, you know, so good at playing this. And so it's fascinating to me. When did that... You know, because you tried to be a guitarist for a while there, but I don't know if you could have possibly carried on being a lead guitarist and not a lead singer because it's so much a part of you now. Like,
yeah, no, thank you. I that's how I started, and that's how I came out of the backyards, and you know, in Pasadena, Monterey Park, Montebello, Roland Heights. You know, that's how I played and sang. For all intents and purposes, you know, I was talking to, we were on the Dean Del Rey show the other day, and by the way, I love Dean, shout out to Dean, and shout out to my boy Tracy Guns, I love with all my heart, shout out to Rudy. We were talking about, you know, Tracy mentioned, he goes, you know, before Mark did anything, all of us used to go see Mark play guitar, because he was the guy at 17 years old that I was doing things on the guitar that not too many people were doing. And was that creator of the semi-spastic Ally guitar type of lead guitar playing. And I never got accredited for anybody except from my friends who were there and saw it. And Tracy was there. He saw it, Flash, and cats like that. You know, they would come and see me play in Rat when I played in Rat. And I was the guitar player for Rat. Helped in and wrote their first hit song, You Think You're Tough, with Robin Crosby and Steven. So they would come and see me play. Even in my high school band, you know, we were doing all originals like at 16 and playing the troubadour. And, you know, back then it was kind of unheard of that a guy's coming and singing and playing like guitar, stupid guitar like that and singing like that. So I just had, you know, we were talking about that and they go, you know, now that you're doing double duty, how does it feel? I said, well, initially the guitar parts on most of the Bullet Boys songs are my guitar parts. Now, I don't want to take credit where credit's not due, but I did help Mick, who was a very proficient guitar player that came out of King Cobra, but he wasn't the guitar player that I've been playing like, or that Lonnie, you know, I've been playing with Lonnie for a long time, and we needed to all work together. So, you know, I was able to show him some of the runs that I do, you know, and the vibrato, the way I play it, the prowess that I would do, and we would sit down, and he was very open to it at first, and I think that's, you know, how those a lot of those riffs came out, you know, I wrote the riff for Smooth Up, all the vocals, you know, and while we're on the subject, let's go back to Al DeBarge, because I got to give him his props for this. When Al, every night, Al would, you know, I'm sorry I'm switching gears, but it will be self-explanatory when I finish.
Absolutely, yeah.
When Al, every night he finished the show, he would invite all these lovely ladies up, because beautiful gals, up to his suite, and he would tell the story. And he would either tell the Kawasaki story. We won't get into that because you guys will be like, oh my gosh, that is just awfully good. And then,
and, you know, no,
listen, y'all, Al was a rock star, dude. I mean, there was, dude, you know, we walk into his dressing room, there's fight sculptures and Sugar Ray Leonard sitting there waiting for him to meet him. And, wow. You know, I'm hanging out, you know what I'm saying? You know, and his bodyguard chief, he was Oscar De La Hoya. He worked on the crew of Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray. So you know, and so it was like, you know, it's crazy. I'm sorry, I got off the beaten path, too. So anyway, so he'd come up with the gals, and he'd tell the story all the time. And I go, and he'd go, man, and he'd whittle them all down, and then I'd be hanging out, and he'd be, you know, talking to this girl, and he's really, really sweet. He was never pushed himself on anybody. He's just always classy, right? Just real badass. And he'd go, man, honey, your skin is so smooth. God, it's smooth like a baby's butt. And they come back and they go, oh, Al, stop. They go, girl, man, tonight I just like to go smooth up in you. Smooth silk. And they go, Al, stop it. You're so nasty. See, I couldn't get a good time. You got to start all with all that smooth up shit. Right? So, and we would laugh for Al's talking to you now. And we'd be on the floor. Because, you know, they go, oh, man, you guys are messing with me, man. So, yeah, you know, I was just kidding. And, blah, 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 blah. I go, man, cool. And so, you know, Al would end up, you know, would take everybody out to dinner and whatever. And so he just wanted to make people laugh. And I told him, one of these days, Al, I'm going to write a song called Smooth Opinion. He goes, good luck getting it played on the radio. That's a true story. Okay? So let's roll forward after all that. And we part company and I haven't seen him. And he goes through life like we go through life. And then here I am in Warner Brothers, and the record's released, it's blowing up, and Benny Medina was in the R&B side, the president of the R&B side of Warner Brothers, right? So he opens up the door, and I see Benny, go, oh my God, what are you doing? So he goes, there's someone in here. I go, he goes, stop. I stop at the door, and there's someone playing piano, like an acoustic piano, like this beautiful baby grand piano that Benny had his office. And I only knew one person that could play like that, and it was Al. And I go, is he fucking here? He goes, he is. Such. So he hadn't seen me, so here I am with the blonde hair, huge, number one video, everything. And I go up and speak up behind him, and I go, so you didn't think I gave it played on the radio, huh? And he turns around and knew exactly who it was. And he goes, ah, he almost tackled me, right? And he's like, you son of a bitch, you did it. He goes, you did it, you know?
Wow, that's just tremendous.
That is fantastic.
So that's, we laughed our ass off, and we were hugging, and I teared up because I loved him so much, and he was so happy for my success, and he goes, how'd you do it? I go, well, we released it, Smooth Opinion, and, you know, they said, well, we'll never play the song, blah, 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 and then, you know, I won't say who did it at Warner Brothers, but somebody at Warner Brothers said, what if we call the song Smooth Up? We'll play it. And if you don't play it, you don't get so-and-so, or you don't get so-and-so, you don't get so-and-so. Oh, don't worry about that. We will play these guys. We love the song, you know? So I love the song, but back then, you know, it just was, you know, all those videos too provocative, and, you know, now look, we're living in a provocative world.
Oh, God. You know? It's tame by
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have no idea the problems we had playing Smooth Up.
Really?
Because this was like, oh, man, it was Smooth Opinion. I mean, come on, this is a blatant. You guys are being so blatant about this. It's not even. It's like, yeah, but isn't it cool? Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know. Damn, you're right. You got me there. It's fucking cool. You know, my girlfriend's freaking out about it. She loves it. You know. So, you know, that's how it went. You know, so we kind of, you know, that's what we do here. Same thing with Elefante, man. It's very sexy. And I'm calling this album, it's very spooky sexy.
I think there's going to be a kids, personally, you, this is the first you heard this, but I think there's going to be a lot of kids born to this album. Like, a lot of
yes.
kids conceived from this. That's my opinion.
No, absolutely. Thank you, bro. I could only be so lucky for that, because a lot of young people are really gravitating and have been gravitating to this band for the past 3 to 4 years. So we're not playing in front of an older crowd per se, which I don't care. It doesn't matter. You come to our show, up to your 80, 90 years old in a wheelchair, I don't care. Just
nice.
Come and have a good time with us.
Yeah.
Come and have some barbecue with us and stuff, you know? Let us sit around and tell a bunch of jokes.
90 years old, ride your Harley down, and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Dude, my mom and my dad were just at my show at the Whiskey the other day. Everybody was catering to them like they're king and queen.
Awesome.
I don't think you should get too used to it, because I'm like busting their balls. You shouldn't be getting too used to this, you know. And my mother looks at me and she goes, excuse me, why not? I was like, ooh. So there you go. So, you know, that's where we're at, man. You know, that's where we're at right now. We're just, you know, I'm just still really challenged with this record and challenged musically right now. And we're just ready to take this on the road. The Armed Alliance tour starts, July the 7th. We're taking out LA Guns with Tracy Guns and Rudy Sarzo and Keith St. John. And we're also, our special guests will be the Killer Bees from Finland, who has in their graces Paul Chapman, who was the guitar player for UFO.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So it's going to be a great night of music. You're going to have some really great musicians up there, you know, just playing their stuff. Rudy and Tracy, they nicknamed the band, they call themselves Gunzo. So they're actually doing, you know, some great stuff, some of Rudy's catalog and some of the LA Guns catalog. So, you know, they switch up their set at you know, different times, and they sound really great, man. They're having a good time, you know?
Yeah, I keep looking and I keep thinking to myself, man, I wish you'd just come to Calgary, because
yeah,
I really want to.
Oh, man.
We're Canadian, and yeah.
No,
we don't
absolutely.
We don't get you enough
no.
up here. We'd love to get you up here.
I know,
we,
man.
We,
listen,
we would I... let you. We would let your. We would bring you up here, and we would let your drummer cook for us. He'd be nice enough.
Oh, my gosh.
You.
Are you kidding me? Don't tell Sean that. He'll do it. He'll say, like, where's the plane ticket, dude? And he'll look at me, like, all angry, like, where's the plane ticket? You know, it's like, dude, I don't have it. Don't look at me like that. You know, it's like, no, are you kidding me? We're doing, listen, we're coming up to Toronto on the Armed Alliance tour, but we're doing different legs of the Armed Alliance tour. And when we get off this interview, if I could hand you over to the director of Blue Sparrow, we can exchange, you know, whatever information, and I will get you in touch with my agent, because I would like to do a strictly Canadian-based tour where we hit, you know, a lot of different cities and places.
Oh, yeah.
So are you kidding me? I love Calgary. It's beautiful there. I have friends up there, many friends up there, and it's just gorgeous, and we would love to come and play for you guys. We'd be honored.
Well, we'd be happy to go out and take you for some poutine, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm ready. I think I went to the New Beats last time I was there.
Really? Nice. we're having a great
with
time
some,
here.
Two really hot girls, too. It was, anyway, another story, another time. Sorry.
I don't know how much longer you have with us. I mean, you've given us almost an hour, and it's, like I say, it's a true honor. But I do, there's something I want to bring up, and we've been having a great time here, but it's something I got to bring up, because I do it pretty much every time we interview somebody who knew him, and as somebody who left us far too early, somebody who was, in my life, probably is the most important person for why I, just possibly the most important musician for me, and that was Janie Lane. I'm just wondering if there's some perspective or maybe a story you haven't told before, or, you know, a thought, something you might want to share about Janie Lane, because I know you're a good friend of his.
Yes, Janie Lane was one of my close friends. Even though if we didn't talk to each other for a year, we were still close friends. You know, we just came up the ranks together on Sunset Strip and doing our thing. And I think a really great story I could tell you is that we were, I believe I was at the House of Blues here in L.A., and we were going in, he was coming out, and something was going on, and I was married at the time, and he was really happy to see me. I was really happy to see him. We've changed numbers, and he goes, he was saying something about being, and I said, yeah, you know, it's my wife, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, and he said, he goes, do you really know my friend? And he's asking my wife at the time, and he goes, yes. And she goes, he goes, no, do you really know Mark? He goes, because I'm going to tell you something. Please don't ever break my friend's heart.
Wow.
And he was real serious about it. And he looked at me and he gave me a kiss on the cheek like we gave each other a kiss. And he goes, I love you, bro. And I said, I love you too, buddy. He goes, just know, just don't ever forget, just know who we are, bro, and what we've been through. He goes, it's really nice to meet you. And he said, he's really kind, really sweet, but the way he said it, I'll never forget that.
That's, yeah, that's...
And what happened was exactly what he said. He, like, already knew it was going to happen. See what I'm saying? It was, and it did happen to me. So a lot of this music that you hear is driven from that I have to get up there, you know, and still and super glue my heart together every day. And that, but I think I managed to do a fairly good job of it, you know, and yeah. carry on for things, you know, that I've been through. So, you know, hopefully I'll be some people's voice of reason or some people's voice of that I'm completely mad, you know, so. You know, that's rock and roll, man. You know, and that spurs me to write great music from the stuff that I've been through in the past, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. You know, it's, you know, I have a lot to pull from in that area.
That's I really appreciate you sharing that story. That's it's very touching. That's
no, great. No, absolutely. I love Janie, dude. He was extremely talented, you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry that he's still not here, and that I wish he would have surrounded us with friends like that. Really, really cared about him. He tried, but I think after sometimes, you know, his demons overcame him, and he just, you know, it happens to some of us, you know, and he was just a brilliant cat. And just forget being a musician, just as far as just being like, you know, a dude, he is just like a dude. He's just so funny, you guys. And he'd sit down on the acoustic guitar and just start playing something like, start singing something. Oh, what's that? He goes, oh, I just made it up. I just like this melody I have. And I go, because he was like me. He's like, you do these funny things. And I go, wow, that's really good. You should work on it. He goes, yeah, we should. And he put the guitar down, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like, so
talent.
Fucking cool, you know. He was just so funny. But damn it, I wish he would have stopped drinking, man, and just been able to do that, you know. I think he'd still be around. And that's why I don't use and haven't in years. And I'm sober and work out hard and, you know, out there on the ground like Rocky, so I could stay looking real sexy for all you people out there. Because, hey, man, I can't go up there all big and stuff, you guys. I don't think that's fair to the fans. It's just not, you know.
No,
I just ain't.
It's true. I mean, you know, I mean, a big part of the look is a big part of it, you know. I mean,
man, and your voice and. Yeah. Presentation and being able to still sing and perform, and you know, I don't think I would be doing it, you guys, if I couldn't do it at a certain level. I don't think it's fair for an audience to pay for that. You know,
I gotta also mention just back to Janie for 1 second. Just I did see there's a YouTube video out there of you playing Heaven. I think it was probably shortly after his passing. And I gotta just tell you what a incredible version. You did. It really touched me.
Oh, thank you, man.
Watching you sang it beautifully, and the guitar solo was out of this world. So, you know.
Oh, thank you. You know, I try to put like a, you know, I really love Southern fried and country music a lot too. So, you know, I try to put a little, you know, a little sauce on it. You know, a little sauce, change it up a little bit. You know, and I know Janie would be like. Man, that was really cool.
I love the way you did that.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, every once in a while I'll pull it out. Yeah. Just like, you know, if I'm feeling in that mode, I'll just go right into it. And then my bass player, Chad, you know, he played with Janie for a long time, actually. And so he knows all the parts. So He goes, so he's going back. He goes, I know you're going to be doing different changes. He goes, show me the changes. You know, I'll show him the changes. He'll be like, oh, man, that's so dope. You know, so every once in a while, I'll kind of give him the eye, and I'll go into the card, and he just smiles, you know, and he just kind of tips his hat. You know, he's just, like, such a cool, like, naughty gentleman. So we get a chance to do that, and we'll do, like, a little bass guitar thing, and people will go, is that heaven? Is he actually playing that song? You know, but that song was just so well written, and the words were so great, and it's so poignant to everybody, really, these days, you know. And I just, you know, every once in a while, I'll be there by the great Michael Jackson, too. So
I got to look that up. I hope that's on YouTube somewhere. I got to find that.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of on YouTube, there was another interview I saw you do. And speaking, when you talk about heaven, and that's a ballad, and Bullet Boys isn't known for it. But there's a song that you did, I think it was about a year ago in an interview, and I think it was when you were in Connecticut. It was called Switchblade Butterfly, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, God damn, that is a beautiful song. And so I kind of expected
to know about that. Oh, thank you.
I
wrote that for the tragedy that happened at that time, to hopefully to uplift the community when we were playing a show. And it really touched my heart that so many of those children died. And I wanted to, you know, write something for people that were coming to the show. And, you know, I've been working on it for a while, and it just came about. And it's like, wow, this is good. You know, I was asking the guys, do you think I should play it tonight? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. You need to play that song, man.
It's like, okay. A beautiful, beautiful song. And I say, I kind of thought it would be on Elefante. It isn't. Is it?
Yeah.
Are you going to do something with it in the future? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. We might actually do that as a recorded single with an orchestra. So So we're trying to keep it, you know, something like that. Do something like, you know, really cool with some strings and for something that's, just a different side of the Bullet Boys to be able to present. That's just not a record. It could be a single or something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. We had so much material to pick out of. It was just really difficult, you know? And, you know, a song like that, you know, it's just like, I'll only do it if it's right, you know? And I try to do it a couple of times, and emotionally, it's just, I don't know, I just wasn't getting it right. So, I tried a couple of times, and I was talking to my producer, and he goes, God, this is so beautiful. We need to really take our time with this. And I don't think that you're wanting to perform it or playing it like you really want to play it. Because, you know, in all honesty, it was very difficult to do this record because I did not have a huge budget to work with. And we were just blessed that people came to our rescue, and we were able to finish it, you know. So there you go.
There you go. Well, do you mind if we're not going to take too much more of your time? Do you mind if we just do I will talk down with you for 8 hours.
Yeah,
we
could be here. We could be here all night.
No, hold on. Let me put on a pot of coffee, you guys.
We don't want to burn you out or anything here. But,
no, it's all right. I'm actually getting ready to. This will lead into my next interview. For the day later on afternoon.
What,
so
what would be your perfect tour? Like, who's the bands where you're like, I get to pick two or three other bands, and we're just going to go, and we're going to have a great time. I just want to be with these guys. We're going to play. The shows will be great, and the company will be great. Who would that be?
The Guns N' Reformation of Guns N' Roses, and that Bullet Boys opening up for Guns N' Roses.
Nice, nice. That would be great.
I would love to tour with Axl. I love Axl Rose with all my heart. We've known each other for a long time, and he's always been a great person to me, and has given me some great wisdom when we were coming up the ranks and having our success with our band. And he's always been, you know, a cheerleader for me way, way back in the day. The other would be the most radical, naughtiest boys practically that came out of L.A., which would be none other than Motley Crue. I wish we could play a show with those guys. I love Tommy, Nicky, Vince, and the Monster Man, Nicky and Nick. Those guys, I've known them forever. And I'm actually kind of saddened because I don't think we were able to do it, but I sure would have loved to open up for Van Halen, the mighty Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would have been a lot of fun. And but Kenny Wayne Shepherd got the gig, and I'm kind of mad at him. I'm kind of resentful of it, you guys. But yeah, no, man, those were the, some of the cats that I loved to play with. And of course, I'm sorry, it's kind of like four bands: Aerosmith, Steven Tyler, and Joe Perry, and the cat, and those great cats. I wrote a song about them with the fellas back in the day called "Ode to Joe," and those guys, have been through so much, and they're our heroes, And the fifth, but last but not least, and I'm saving practically the best for last, would be my favorite band, period, which would be David Grohl and Los Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
They got me through hard times. I know they've gotten millions of people through hard times, and David has been the ambassador for rock and roll for many years now. But I just tell you something. We were just up at his studio at 606, and we had the pleasure and the honor to be in that studio cutting a brand new song and working with Lou there and all the wonderful people that are at that studio. And I got to tell you something, the magic that is coming from those walls when you walk into that room is unbelievable. It's just, I can't even explain it to you guys. I've just been so blessed by being able to even be there. So if we could even just have one date with the Foo Fighters opening up for them, I would probably cook David for breakfast from here to eternity.
Tremendous.
Oh man, are you kidding me? So yeah, definitely. So he really inspired me. I don't know him, and I've never met him. But hopefully, I'm going to have the honor to meet him soon, because there's a lot of stuff to go back. I know the Pat Smear, he's my favorite punk rock band, one of the top two. It's the Germs. So it's just, would be such an honor to even be a part of being able to play some of his stuff and open up to them and do our thing, I get the privilege of talking to Taylor Hawkins every once in a while. He gave me his number, so we shout out to each other every once in a while. And he's just an amazing cat, him and his wife. Shout out to him and his wife. They're just such good people and so just extremely talented, and have been putting out brilliant record after brilliant record after brilliant record, and having vision and, just carrying the flag for rock and roll for all this time, man. I've got to tell you, man, those guys are just, I hail them.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to just get you some, we're going to throw some quick hits at you, okay? Just kind of get a word association, quick sentence,
sure,
quick thought, quick opinion, quick story, whatever. We're just going to throw some names at you here, and because it sounds like hell, everyone.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I actually kind of do, a little bit.
Which is awesome. All right, let's
and I hate to be name dropping and stuff, dude. I'm not a name dropper, but I gotta explain to the stories and tell people's names. Otherwise, what the hell are we talking about?
Oh, you're not name dropping. What it is that you had a hell of a life, and you know what? And
let's
celebrate.
No, thank you.
Let's celebrate.
Oh, sweet, man.
And
no worries.
Help people know
thank
it
you.
A little more. So
let's start out.
Shout
with...
out one more time, man. Shout out to Priya Panda and Diamonds and Michael. I love those guys. Love, shout out to those guys. Diamonds rock the house.
Awesome.
All right, so let's start out with Greg Jeffria.
Yes, my mentor. He brought me into the business.
Carmen Apapis, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Yeah. Let's get the name, because you worked with him. Carmine, I've heard Apapis, but I've also heard Apacy.
It's Carmine Apapis to me.
Okay.
Carmine Apapis. Okay.
So,
and I believe that Vinny calls himself Vinny Apacy.
Yeah,
see, I know, that's where I'm
from. I heard an interview with Wendy Dio, and she was talking about Vinny Apacy.
God, I love her.
And we have talked to so many other people who, and because Carmine is one of my favorite drummers. And,
oh, he's amazing.
And so
Still is amazing.
Yes, and I hear these stories, and I'm like, so it's Carmine Apapis, but Wendy's talking about Vinny Apacy, and I'm so confused by this. But no,
right? Yeah, no, totally. Okay, Carmine Apapis, brilliant drummer, not a quitter, taught me a lot with tough love.
Perfect.
Wow.
All right, Steven Adler.
Oh, my brother. My brother. Love him. We're extremely close. I hail him as the original drummer for Guns and Fucking Roses, bro. That's my bro.
Guns and Fucking
That's
Roses.
My brother.
Nice.
All hail and all respect to Steven and what he's been through in his life and everything. I love him, dude. That's my guy.
Well, I want another guy that we've talked to and is great. Chip's Enough.
Chippy. Wow, man. Eccentric. Lovable. Wish he would come on back home. He knows what I'm talking about. Stalwart supporter of Mark Torian and his music and my family and my close family. He's always been so supportive, and he's been a very, very good and close friend, but we're also very competitive with each other, and that's what I love about him.
Awesome. How about Ozzy Osbourne?
Ah, the best. The best, him and Sharon, the best. He hired me as his new guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne when I was a kid. And I played with Ozzy, and he and Sharon taught me a lot when I was with their organization. Rudy Sarzo, also I played with Rudy with Ozzy. He's one of my mentors that was so kind to me when I played with Ozzy. Ozzy taught me a lot when I was playing guitar how to be not just a good guitarist, but a brilliant guitar player. And he would show me films of Randy that he would have in his home and how to properly play the right rhythms that Randy was playing and different things like that. And he was a discoverer of talent. And Ozzy discovered me as a guitar player, and so did Sharon, and believed in my talent. And that association was through Greg Jeffria. Greg Jeffria, they contacted him, and Greg had mentioned that he was working with me and discovered me, and I would be the perfect fit. So that's how that all came about.
Awesome. So you did two songs for Cherry Street, and this guy did an album for Cherry Street, one of our friends, Brian Vollmer.
Okay. Brian, great guy. He just cat that just loves music and just a lot of fun, man. Really cool cat.
I'm going to throw one out here that you might not know, but I'm sure you have an opinion on. And he's recently passed away himself. That's B.B. King. Mm.
Well, we lost the heart and soul of the blues here in America. B.B. King is why I named my guitars. B.B. King was and is the greatest blues player that we probably ever had, and the most resilient and kind, considerate man that we had around that I never ever got a chance to meet, but I've always just revered and just loved him from afar in his talent and just as a human being.
His string bending is just unbelievable.
Ah, ridiculous. Ridiculous. What you can hit one note and just move a huge audience. I mean, it's not the hands, it's the soul. It's not really the instrument, you know.
Absolutely. Paul Shortino.
Paul. Wow. I don't really know Paul that well, to be honest with you. I he's an acquaintance from back in the day, but I'm very happy for his success in the show The Rock Vault in Las Vegas, and it's well-deserved. Kudos to him.
All right, so what about Jake E. Lee?
One of the greatest guitar players that's ever come out of Los Angeles, California. Ever. An amazing, amazing cat, amazing human being. I'm so glad that he's back. He's one of my friends. Every time I see him, he looks at me and goes, "Mark Torian." He just starts laughing and shaking his head. And he looks at me like I'm still a little kid. Because, so, you know, they were huge already, you know, playing. And I was just coming to try to get to see the guy play. And it's like they're kicking me like, "Get out of here. You're too young to be in here." So, you know, he is just one of those cats that changed guitar playing for me. And he's just, you know, one of the cats, dude. He's one of the coolest cats that's ever played that instrument, dude. Jake, dude. I hear everyone say his last name. And say, dude, you know when Jake used to do that? It's like, he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, if anybody comes in and goes, what are you talking about? But they're not even in a conversation. You know, that's how cool that guy is. And his playing ability. And in fact, we just saw him in Vegas here recently, me and Chris Hagar, Stephen Pierce's guitar player. We were just in like, I'm in awe still. When he pulls off some of the stuff, and I'm smacking fucking Chris with my elbow. And he's going, I know, fuck. It's just like, you know, shit. I go, do we both want to go back home and get our tones together again? He goes, I thought I had good tone. I said, I thought I did too. You know, we're like looking at each other like, shoot. And I got to go back home and start messing with my stuff again? And so we seen him in the back. I go, Jake, your tone's like stupid. He goes, oh, thanks, guys. I was like, don't tell me, oh, thanks, guys. He goes, will I give you a secret? I go, yeah. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm working with this company, and they built me the Jakey Lee distortion box. You see that little thing that's sitting up the top there? He goes, it's exactly the tone that I want. I said, oh, my God, I love you. That's brilliant. He goes, nah, that, even he goes, nah, that's not really what it is. So he'll never give us the truth. You know? It's like, what? You just told us before starting? You liar, traitor. He goes, awesome. No, dude, it's, you know, I just, dude, I'm blowing up amps like you are, too. You know, we use this, we use that. But, you know, he's so rad, dude. And he's so humble, too, about his playing. You know, he's just like, whatever, dude. You know?
Who do you consider to be, last question, and I was going to throw a name at you, but I'd rather get you to throw the name at us here. Who do you consider to be the epitome of a great showman, front man? And who's the guy who's like, that's it, that guy sets the stage. He does it as good or better than anybody else ever has. If you're like, B.B. King is the man at the guitar, who's that man for as a front man, as a showman?
Wow.
Besides
I gotta tell you, they just recently broke up, probably about a year ago. But I really thought that the lead singer for My Chemical Romance was a great frontman.
Nice, I like that. That's not where I would have thought you would have gone. So that's great.
I really thought that he put it out there and left everything on stage. And that, to me, is a great front man. It's somebody that is not pretentious, mistakes and all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not thinking about themselves, but just has IT and is doing his thing or her thing. I really think that I miss that band. First of all, I thought they were doing really cool things, but him as a front man, he was pretty brilliant. Gosh, man, right now I would say, you know, two in a rock band. You know, it all depends. I have my likes might be different. They're very eclectic. You know, I really love the lead singer of Rise Against. And I love his performance only because, he's honest with his audience and, you know, came and spoke about his personal life in Rolling Stone. And I have a lot of respect for that. I can see it that he's putting it all out there, and he's just himself, you know, and that energy is amazing to me to watch that kind of stuff. I could probably go on and on and on. I mean, I got to tell you something. Corey Taylor for Slipknot is an amazing, amazing frontman. Some of the stuff that he does, and just him as a person, and the way he thinks, and how he's taken his band from the bottom to the top, is really makes me just go like, wow, you know, he's amazing. So, and last but not least in the music, I got to give it up for Ivan from Five Finger Death Punch. I love his aggressiveness. I love that he's real about it. I love that he doesn't hold back any words. Even if he's having a bad night, he goes up there and lets people know what the hell time it is. I have a lot of respect for that, the honesty, his performance. I got a chance to see them, Jason Hook, played in the Bullet Boys, and we actually were, for all intents and purposes, kind of discovered him. So Jason, I was really happy to see him at the office. We got a chance to talk, and I love Jason to death. He's just so awesome, so proud of what he's done in his career. And he invited me up to the side of the stage, which was really amazing and cool. So I got a chance to watch them from the side of the stage. I'd never seen Five Finger Death Punch. And I was just like, I got a chance to talk to Ivan and all the guys in the band. And I said, these guys are so bloody cool, man. I go, this is... And then when you see them play, it's like, man, I wouldn't want to be before them or after them. these guys are throwing down, man. The show was great. And, Jason's just playing like crazy. But it's a different thing, It's like for them, we're a band like us, we kind of really feed off each other, I don't get that with that band, so it's like, that's why I can respect it because I'm going like, wow, this is really different for me, It's five guys up there playing, they're all in the same band, they're playing together, but I don't see a lot of interaction, But it's still there, so it's like, wow, this is really epic. I have a lot of respect for it, but their songs are really cool, and I think they're really trying to do something different. I love Volbeat to death too. Volbeat's just a great band. Anytime I can get to go see them play, I'll go see them play. Just a great, great band, great songs, great melodies.
Well, speaking of great, it's a great new album. Elefante, one more time. Is it the 9th of June, I believe it's out?
Yes, the 9th of June, it drops. Big time. And we're really excited about it. We can't wait.
And what do you pump your website? Pump anything else that you want to spit out there?
Just I want to thank everybody for being there for us for all these years, and that we're there for them, that we're not going to let them down on this tour and this record, that we're going to play everywhere that we can. Our overseas friends, we will be there soon. And anybody that's hitting us up on Facebook and our good friends in Canada, we will be there. Just be a little bit patient right now while we are facilitating to play the right places and to be able to get out there to you guys. Because we're just waiting for this record to drop after the 9th. It's on. We're doing like 4 warm-up shows in the Midwest to test the waters with some of the new music and adding it to our set. And then in July, we're out. But I just want to thank you and thank everybody for being so kind and gracious to me. And we're getting a lot of great messages and Facebook messages, Twitter and Instagram and Vine, everywhere. Everybody's just hitting us up, and it's overwhelming. And I just want to say a heartfelt thank you from all 4 of us.
Well, Mark, obviously we think it's a great album, and, I am really glad that you didn't decide to call it quits. All right. Well, Mark Torian, you are an amazing guest. And
thank you.
Singer,
thank you for having
guitarist.
Me. You guys are great. Great question.
We have enjoyed...
I wish I was there with you doing it, because I could have been partaking in some of the great food in your area, because I know I've eaten at a couple great restaurants there, and we could have been chilling together.
Well, I'll tell you what, you come here and we will do our damnedest to hang out together. How's that sound?
Oh, for sure, bro. Please, yes, we'd love to. And thank you again for having me. You guys rule. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You rule. And good luck with Elefante, and good luck with the tour.
Cheers, and thank you. Keep on. Please, thank you for playing it and going to play the record. Please keep on playing it, and we really need the help to take this band to a certain level, and we would really appreciate your help, man.
No problem. Well, you got it. You got. We're backing you 100%.
You guys are awesome. Take care, and thank you for having me, man. Peace.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Just You're free.